This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
5 minutes after the hour, it's Friday, October 15th. Good morning and welcome back to Morning Air on the Feast of St. Teresa of Avila, Doctor of the Church. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast to start your Friday morning here on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. On Fridays, I always make it a point to remind you that this is the traditional day dedicated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And Fridays, we also always remember the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is the feast of St. Teresa of Avila. St. Teresa of Jesus, the first woman doctor of the church and the great Carmelite reformer. It was St. Teresa who famously prayed these beautiful poetic words, "Let nothing disturb you, let nothing frighten you. All things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone suffices." Something for us to meditate on today, her feast day. I want to bring in Glenn Leverance. Glenn, tonight at midnight is the deadline to sign up for the beautiful hand-painted nativity set that we've been talking about for days. Can you remind the folks with a few details?
Absolutely, John. This is the deadline. Today is the last day, and it's not too early to start thinking about Christmas decorations for the outside, especially if you're in northern climates. I've had stuff ready to go by Halloween. Not turned on yet, you know, but ready to go before you're climbing on a ladder in a snowstorm to get everything all set to go. So we've got this beautiful nativity set for you. Get a look at it online at relevantradio.com. Just enter for free to win. We've got like 200 to give away. Have to enter by midnight tonight. It's four pieces or five if you count Jesus separate from the manger, but it's our Lord. It's Mary, it's Joseph, and an awesome-looking angel as well. They're all about 2.5 feet high. It can be outdoors, can be indoors. Get a look at that online at relevantradio.com. Register. The deadline is tonight at midnight.
It's a great opportunity to keep Christ in Christmas, as we try to do every year. Another story that we're keeping an eye on, we've been talking about recently, a federal appeals court has rejected President Biden's demand, and it's allowing the Texas heartbeat bill to continue, a bill that is responsible for saving many babies, Glenn.
Yeah, that's right. It's saved about 100-150 children a day since September 1st. And so that law still in effect. The latest effort by the Justice Department turned down by a 2-to-1 margin. Next stop could be the Supreme Court for yet another pro-life matter heading to the nation's highest court.
Absolutely. And this is the third time that it's been challenged. And so we continue to pray for life here in the month of life here in October. Speaking of October, October baseball, Major League Baseball playoffs last night in San Francisco, Oracle Park. The L.A. Dodgers beat the Giants 2-1, Game 5, National League Division Series. It was a dramatic game-winning RBI by Cody Bellinger, as heard on TBS.
And Cody Bellinger stepping in for L.A.
Here comes a 1-2 from Duvall. Lines one in the right center field for a base hit. Turner will score. Lux is on his way to third. Bellinger, with the biggest hit of his career, has just given the Dodgers a 2-1 lead.
Giants are down to their last out. Wilmer Flores, no balls, two strikes. And Flores, did he go? He did! And the game ends! A swinging strike three! Gabe Morales rings him up. The game is over, and the Los Angeles Dodgers are headed to the National League Championship Series.
Glenn, it was a very controversial ending there in that ballgame, but what a game from the Dodger perspective, a disappointment from the Giants, the two best teams in baseball record-wise.
Boy, and they battled like that all the way through the game too, John, to the bitter end. I tell you, I sacrificed one for the team and stayed up to watch the whole thing. It was very exciting, Bellinger's hit to put the Dodgers ahead, but then to have it end like that, and granted, these, you know, umpires have to make these calls in real time, and anything regarding balls and strikes cannot be appealed and overturned. In real time, did look like maybe he went around just a hair, but on replay, kind of didn't look like it. And you even had the announcers ready to say as much, but that call and basically the series being determined by first base umpire Gabe Morales. And so 2-1, the official final, Dodgers over the Giants, both teams awesome regular seasons as well. And now it's on to the NLDS, the Braves, the opponent of the Dodgers. And then they'll get underway tomorrow. Tonight on the American League side, Boston and Houston go at it.
Final note on Cody Bellinger. He's a former MVP, struggled big time this year, only hit 165. As I was walking out the door this morning, I said to my wife, remember, baseball teaches many life lessons. It's not where you start, it's where you finished. And he finished last night big time here in the postseason.
Yeah, great game, great game. Love this postseason baseball stuff, John.
Absolutely, and much more to come. As always, thanks so much, Glenn. We also here on Morning Air keep first things first. And first of all, we always start in prayer every hour, giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, when we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, coming up momentarily, we'll be joined by attorney Andrea Picciotti Bayer to discuss how the Supreme Court can restore freedom for religious schools. A little bit later, at the bottom of the hour, Catholic author and speaker Gary Zimek will tell us about his new book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. And we'll also bring you yet another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that and much more coming up this hour here on Morning Air. Our power scripture from the playbook of life that we do every day is from Philippians 2, 10 and 11. The Apostle St. Paul writes, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. On Fridays, we meditate on the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the passion and death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Catholics, we genuflect in front of the true presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. But how often do we think about or pray about the sacred name of Jesus? Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the bread of life, the Lamb of God, the author of life, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the light of the world, the Alpha and the Omega. Christ needs to be number one in your life. Nothing should be more important than our Lord Jesus Christ. And we always pray with great confidence every morning, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, 888-914-9149, if you want to be part of the conversation. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court will soon decide whether the state of Maine violated the Constitution by prohibiting students enrolled in its tuition assistance program from using their aid to attend schools that provide religious or sectarian instruction. This is a big-time ruling that will be crucially important, not just for families in Maine, but for cash-strapped parents across our nation hoping to send their children to religious schools. The Supreme Court could restore freedom to religious schools. Joining us now with a legal and a Catholic perspective is Andrea Picciotti Bayer. Andrea is a Stanford-educated lawyer who has dedicated her legal career to civil rights and appellate advocacy. She's the director of the Conscious Project and the mother of 10 children. Good morning, Andrea. Welcome back to Morning Air. It's so good to be with you once again.
No, and thank you so much for having me. This is a great conversation to be having.
Absolutely. Can you kind of give us an overview of this Supreme Court case, Carson versus Macon? What exactly is the court deciding? What are some of the basics?
Well, this is a continuation of a theme that the court has been addressing, and it's whether or not school choice initiatives, in this case, Maine School Choice Initiative, can exclude religious schools, either because of their status as religious schools or because of what they're teaching. And last year, the Supreme Court, in a case called Espinosa versus Montana Department of Revenue, dealt with Montana's Blaine Amendment, which was enacted back in the late 1800s, specifically excluding sectarian schools. Now they're facing Maine's law, and this was something that was adopted just in the 1980s, and it excludes schools that have sectarian instruction. So it's kind of like a sleight of hand going on here, and we're hoping that this Supreme Court, which has been so clear and so kind of focused on religious freedom, is going to both bury the Blaines once and for all and open up school choice initiatives to religious schools and parents that want a different option for their children.
Andrea, how is the state of Maine defining, how do they define a sectarian and religious schools?
Well, this is really interesting. They get their hands dirty. They look at not only the identity of the school, but they look at what the school has been teaching. So they ask for curriculum and instruction materials, and that is a very troublesome activity in my perspective, because it gets the state looking into the internal dynamics and instructions of our private religious schools. So, you know, as far as an entanglement of the state into religious organizations, you can't see anything more troublesome.
It kind of reminds me of what's going on behind the scenes very quietly with the IRS, who has been starting to question different organizations, nonprofit organizations, Christian organizations, about what they believe and their religious beliefs. So I see a common theme here.
Absolutely. And there is a chilling effect. There are a number of schools in Maine who desperately want to serve the population that is unserved by in areas where there's no public high school, and they're having to modify their message in order to be able to serve these students. We don't want that. We don't want a chilling effect over our ability to evangelize as Catholics, and we also, as Americans, don't want the government getting into religious organizations and modifying their message for them.
Andrea, obviously this is a case in Maine that the Supreme Court is going to decide, but can you see where this would have national implications for all of us, something that could affect every state in our country?
You know, I think you're absolutely right. The Supreme Court takes a very small percentage of cases that are presented to it for review. And the court is very selective, and they look at where there's issues of conflict between not only their own law, which in this case I think is a big clash with its prior decision in that Montana case, but where the country has an issue that needs to be settled. We're seeing more and more parents, especially during this time of pandemic, kind of taking a second look at their educational choices and realizing that the public schools are often failing them and seeking something differently, you know, for their children. And especially for religious parents, religious education and religious schools are part of our ability to form them in the faith.
Andrea, and we're speaking with Andrea Picciotti Bayer, an attorney, a mother of 10, and defender of religious freedom. Andrea, you know, there's an old saying that elections have consequences. Do you think that the makeup of the Supreme Court right now is probably more important than ever, not just in this case, but in many upcoming cases, including the big Mississippi case that could overturn Roe v. Wade coming up in December?
I do. And in fact, I was going to bring the baseball analogy, but unfortunately what's going on in baseball may blur it a little bit. But Justice Brett Kavanaugh, in a speech that he gave to the Catholic University of America in Washington, said judges are supposed to be umpires. They're supposed to call balls, either, you know, balls strikes or balls, and they're not supposed to be political. This Supreme Court, which is comprised mainly of originalists that are true to the Constitution, has been, especially in the area of religious freedom, vindicating the rights that are specifically enumerated in our Constitution. That's something that we hope will not change. And unfortunately, the Biden administration looks to be thinking of the Supreme Court more as another political arm of the government, and that's just not the way it's set up.
It makes me smile. I'm just wondering if the umpire who made that last call in the Dodger-Giant game that we played the highlight at the top of the hour, I wonder if he's really a Dodger Blue fan.
No, it's very confusing. I was like, how am I going to make this point? But the
I get it, though. They're supposed to be umpires. That's the real role, the originist understanding of the Supreme Court.
Absolutely. And that's an important part of checks and balances. We've got the legislature and the executive who do, as you say, elections have consequences, and they often take policy priorities and run with them. And the judiciary keeps things in line, especially consistent with individual rights and freedoms like religious freedom.
Well, speaking of religious freedom, do you think that this pandemic that we've been living through now for 19 months has inspired lots of parents across our country to take a different look at other options for the education of their children?
You know, I do. Right before I was able to connect with you guys, I dropped off my three youngest children at our parish school, and the school is bursting. There are a number of parents. Some are coming from, you know, families where their parents have been distant from the church and are returning back to the church through our Catholic schools. I think it's a great opportunity. And as far as the vitality of our public schools, competition is really going to help. And we can see a lot of parents within those public schools also starting to push back and starting to assert their authority as primary educators for their children.
And Andrea, just recently here on the show, we talked about the explosion of homeschooling across our country during the pandemic. So lots of families are saying, I'd rather just do it myself. I don't trust what's being taught in these classrooms, especially in the public schools.
Well, and as a former homeschooling mother, I really do think we've advanced so much. There's so many creative options for families, whether it's hybrid homeschooling, or moving in and out. What I think the lesson is being learned by most families is parents are in the driver's seat, and you can go in and out of different schooling models, and you're not trapped. And the point that's really out there is no one is a substitute for parents when it comes to the formation and education of their children.
Do you see more and more parents being concerned with so-called indoctrination that's going on in public schools and even in some private, even Catholic schools, where they're promoting these very progressive ideologies?
Absolutely. I live in Fairfax, Virginia, which is a county right outside of the nation's capital, and it's always been held up as being one of the most prestigious public school districts. And so much is going on as far as revealing curriculum that is, like you said, promoting a progressive ideology that really doesn't have any place in our school system. And parents are standing up and rising up to say, wait a second, this isn't what we think is true about the human person, and this is what we think belongs in our schools. There is an upswell of this kind of assertion of parental interest in the education of our children. I'd highly recommend people check out or buy Get Out Now, a book written by my dear friend Mary Hassan about public school. She wrote it 3 years ago, but it is incredibly spot on as far as the push to affect education from outside organizations.
The current administration has pushed back quite strongly. In fact, Attorney General Merrick Garland wrote a memo claiming what he called a, quote, disturbing spike in harassment and intimidation against school administrators, board members and teachers, and a promised law enforcement response. And to me, this is over the top, because I think that freedom of speech, parents have a right to be able to speak out for their children. They shouldn't be intimidated by the government.
Absolutely. And what a contrast from the memo that you mentioned that Attorney General Garland sent out earlier this month and the forceful words of our former Attorney General Bill Barr. Attorney General Barr was very concerned about the indoctrination going on in public schools and the exclusion of parents from decision-making, from issues involving even the intimacy, privacy, and identity of their children. We've got to be concerned And as a former civil rights attorney with the Department of Justice, I see these kinds of memos are as chilling effect on parents speaking out. And I want to just be out there, you know, to remind the church has been clear. We have an important role as parents, not just to choose the schools, but to be a part of the education that our children are receiving.
Well, Andrea, I so much appreciate, as always, your authentically a Catholic as well as legal perspective to some of these issues that are going on day after day in our country.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation, and have a wonderful feast day at St. Teresa of Avila.
Absolutely. Let nothing disturb you. Thank you so much, Andrea.
Thank you.
Andrea Pichotti-Bayer, Catholic attorney and the director of the Conscious Project, and of course, a mother of 10 children. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Catholic author and speaker Gary Zimek will be with us to talk about his brand new book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. Don't change that dial. There's much more to come on this edition of Morning Air on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales, coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
You belong among the wildflowers. You belong in a boat out at sea.
31 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. It's great to be with you once again. Coming up a little bit later this half hour, we'll bring you a new episode of Glenn's Story Corner. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Now I want to talk about finding peace and happiness and how appropriate a topic to talk about here on a Friday, especially on this day in which we honor the great Saint Teresa of Avila with all that she wrote about God alone sufficing that we've been talking about this morning. In fact, our culture is quite loud, and it can be difficult to find peace in God. And there's so much noise. There's noise in politics, moral dilemmas. There's constant stimulation from technology, social media, everywhere you look. We can become anxious, and in our minds, we can create problems that don't even exist. They haven't even happened yet. How can we find peace is the question. We find peace in God, and our friend Gary Zimek recently wrote a book on how we can find God and peace. Now joining us for more perspective on his new book and on finding peace in the Lord is longtime Morning Air contributor Gary Zimek, a Catholic speaker on the topic of overcoming anxiety. He's also an author and radio host. Gary is the author of several books, including his new book, which is called Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. And of course, his previous book titled Give Up Worry for Good. Gary lives in South Jersey with his wife and two daughters. Good morning, Gary. Happy Friday. Welcome back, my friend, to Morning Air. Always great to be with you.
Oh, John, thanks so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be on with you once again.
I always get so uplifted with our conversations. You always bring such a great spiritual perspective and so much hope to our discussions.
Oh, thanks. You're kind, John. And you know why I talk about this so much? You know why I talk about peace and learning to overcome anxiety? It's because I struggle with this. You know, I've been looking for peace throughout my life, and I finally found it's not that difficult. It took me a long time to realize this. It's not that difficult. What it involves basically is doing God's will. But man, that is so hard to put into practice. And that's one of the reasons that I wrote this book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness, just to break it down into these three simple steps of knowing, loving, and serving God. And John, if you do that, and if I do that on a daily basis, I'm going to find that peace and that happiness that I'm looking for in the Lord.
Absolutely. And first of all, I just want to say congratulations on your new book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. I was thrilled to see that it's available just about everywhere, including on Amazon. It just came out at the end of last month. Tell us a little bit about your thought process of the inspiration and motivation to finally sit down and actually put these ideas into writing.
Well, you know what, John? I've spoken. I'm coming up to close to 10 years in full-time ministry. This will be my 10th book, and I speak a lot about overcoming worry, and I always let people know, whether I'm speaking or leading a parish mission or in my books, the secret is to walking with the Lord, to following Him each day. And so many times people have asked me, well, how do you do that? What exactly does that mean? So I thought, you know, this is time to write a book about this. What does it mean to journey with God through life? And that's what this book is about. Many of us have heard these reasons for our existence dating back to our catechism classes years ago. We should know, love, and serve God. But what does that mean? What does that look like? So I just wanted to put it into a relatively simple book. You know, this book is not overly complicated, but I feel it's got a lot of substance in it. It's 150 pages, and it's something that anybody could look at to get a sort of a game plan for how do I know, love, and serve God? What's important? What do I do each day? And, you know, here's the thing. What's in it for me? It's okay to feel that way, because what's in it for us is the peace and happiness that we're all looking for. And God wants us to find peace and happiness. Sometimes we don't get that, but he really does.
Well, Gary, I chuckled when I found out that your book was about finding peace and happiness, about knowing, loving, and serving God, because I thought, wow, that sounds really familiar. So I went into my bookcase and pulled out the old Baltimore Catechism that I still have an old copy of, and it's right out of the Catechism. It says, to gain the happiness of heaven, we must know, love, and serve God in this world. I mean, this is like basic 101, right out of the old Baltimore Catechism.
Right. And it's a great game plan. And you know, John, the Baltimore Catechism does talk about what we're called to do is to know, love, and serve God in this life and be happy with him forever in the next. But that doesn't imply that we can't be happy in this life, because and I think sometimes the cross is so important. The cross is key to the Christian life. However, if we put all the emphasis on the pain of the cross, we're going to miss out on an important fact, that the peace we're looking for actually comes through embracing our cross. That's a paradox that's hard to understand until you try to put it into practice. So he does want us to be happy, and Jesus took our anxiety and our burdens to the cross. Yes, he wants us to carry a cross in this life, but in doing that and accepting and embracing and not fighting against the crosses that we all have, that's how we're going to find the peace and happiness, beginning in this world and carrying through to the next world where we live with him forever in heaven.
And Gary, happiness from a Catholic Christian, from a biblical perspective, is a lot different than the world's idea of happiness. I remember a few years back, and you might relate to this, I talked to Mike Sweeney. He's a great Catholic brother in the Lord, loves our Lord Jesus Christ. And he once told me that for him, it's about joy. He said, happiness is hitting a 3-run home run, and you're rounding the bases, and everybody's going crazy, and you cross home plate, and you wave to the crowd, and then it's over. He said, but joy is something that goes on and on, and it's knowing that you have Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, and that's something that doesn't change whether you go over 3 or 4 for 5. It's something that stays constant with you. And I thought that's something that I will never forget, that perspective of that we as Christians, we understand happiness differently than the world does.
Interesting you should mention that, John. I had the opportunity to meet and talk with Mike Sweeney when I was speaking at a Legatus chapter in San Diego a few years ago, and I agree with that point. And the thing is, the world pretty much tells us if you want to be happy, you're going to have favorable circumstances. Everything's got to work out perfectly. But what that is, that's really what we would call pleasure. Pleasure is just a response to nice weather or a good meal or everything working out. But joy is so much deeper than that. And joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is that response. It's a response to the constant presence of God in my life, which never changes. And that's why somebody like St. Paul, while he's sitting being held captive, can say to rejoice in the Lord, because even though Paul was being held in captivity, he had that presence of the Lord with him, as we do. So no matter what's going on externally in my life, I can tap into that presence of God and choose, no matter how I feel, to rejoice. And I think that is such a powerful gift.
Definitely. Gary, let's break open these keys that you write about in your book, Knowing, Loving, and Serving God. First of all, what are some of the main things that we should know about God?
Well, John, I broke this down into three simple points, and I prayed about it. I asked the Holy Spirit, what should I reveal? Knowing God, what is that all about? And I came up with three things to know about God. I do a full chapter on each in the book, but it's simply this: God loves me, God is with me, and God is bigger than my problems. John, if I can remember that each day, I have no reason to worry. You know, He loves me, He's with me, and He is all powerful. So if something is happening in my life, something unpleasant, God's allowing that to happen for a reason. And because He loves me, I know that He can bring good out of that. So He wouldn't let it happen to me otherwise. This is so easy to forget, these three steps. But, and I use biblical examples in the book to point this out, how do I know God loves me? You know, how do I know He is with me? How do I know He's bigger than my problems? There's a lot of biblical evidence to point to the fact that God loves us, God is with us at all times, and God is bigger than any problem that I can ever face.
It's a beautiful perspective. And, you know, I can't help but think of St. Teresa of Avila. On this day, we're celebrating her feast. She was such a master of the spiritual life. In fact, in her Life of St. Teresa of Jesus, which she herself wrote, she actually said that she writes, quote, "Believe me, my daughter, His trials are the heaviest whom my Father loves most. Trials are the measure of His love." And these are the words of Jesus to St. Teresa. So trials are a measure of our Heavenly Father's love. So even in trials, we can find peace and we can find love.
We sure can. We sure can. The trick is to not fight against the trials, but to embrace them and know that God's going to give us the grace to deal with whatever He sends our way.
If you want to share with us how you have found peace and happiness in your life, how have you found the Lord, or have a comment or question for Gary Zimmick, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Mark's been holding on for a moment. We're going to go to Mark after we take a short break. So, Mark, you'll be first in line. We need to take a break. We continue talking about finding peace and happiness with Gary Zimmick, longtime Morning Air contributor, Catholic speaker, and author. Stay with us. There's a lot more on the other side after this short timeout. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149.
That's 888-914-9149.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
45 minutes after the hour, welcome back to Morning Air on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. It's great to be with all of you this morning as we continue our conversation with Gary Zimmick, Catholic speaker, author, radio host, and the author of his brand new book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. If you want to jump in and ask Gary a question or you have something on your heart that you'd like to share about finding peace and happiness in the Lord, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Gary, welcome back.
Thanks, John.
Gary, Mark has been holding for a little while. Sure. He has something he'd like to share with us. Mark calling us from Aurora, Illinois, not too far from Chicago. Mark, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Gary Zimmick.
Yeah, good morning. I'm experiencing astonishing contentment that passes all human understanding. About a year and a half ago, there was a fire in my apartment, which caused me to lose about $30,000 worth of audio equipment, and I did not have renter's insurance. And then I was a COVID-19 casualty. I did not get COVID-19. But I was to have had eye surgery for scar tissue in the front of my eye, and the rule came down that no surgeries except life and death surgeries would be admitted. And so my surgery was delayed from early April to latter June, And by then, the cornea specialist said with astonishment that there was a lump of white tissue in the front of my eye, and a retina specialist determined that that was scar tissue, which had partially detached my retina. And I had already lost one eye years earlier, but I have now been totally blind for a year and a half, and I'm not saying that it doesn't affect me. I know, for instance, that for the second year in a row, I won't experience the fall colors, and I won't experience the Christmas lights, and I've always been in love with color, and yet in the midst of all this, I somehow have a contentment when I know that my own emotional history and makeup would suggest that I should be deeply depressed or intensely anxious. And right now I'm asking God, in case you don't heal me, what can you teach me in total blindness that you couldn't have taught me with partial vision?
Mark, thanks so much for calling us. My heart goes out to you, but I know that the Lord is with you. Gary, your thoughts.
John and Mark, that is as amazing of a testimony for the supernatural power of God as I've ever heard. That is so incredible. Mark, I got to say, brother, I commend you for being so open and so humble and accepting of the Lord doing or permitting these things to happen in your life, which so many people would reject, and you, for your incredible witness as to what the Lord can do, how he can fill us with peace in the midst of adversity. That boy, that was powerful. It really was.
Absolutely. Extremely powerful. I mean, one thing is to talk about being not afraid and having courage. Another thing is to actually live it in adversity. And when you lose both eyes, boy, that's a very difficult situation. Lori is joining us from Houston. Lori, welcome.
Hi, can y'all hear me?
Absolutely, you are with us.
Oh, good. Good morning, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to make a comment, something I've been doing lately, and it's just wonderful. So the St. Teresa prayer card that says, "Let nothing disturb you," I love that, and I've been buying, like, by the hundreds, the laminated ones, and I work in the legal industry, and it's very contentious and stressful, and for about 2 years now, I've just been giving them out to people at work. I give them to the cashier at the store. It sparks wonderful conversation, and I'm getting bolder and bolder because I'm thinking, I don't think I'm a very good salesperson and in business, but I'm getting bolder and bolder because I love it, because I feel like I'm a salesperson for God. And what are they going to do? You know, what's the worst thing they're going to do?
I had
a cashier the other day give me a dirty look, and I said, well, go read it on a break. God loves you, and just, you know, she kind of gave me a dirty look, and I thought, you know, that's pretty good, because I've given out probably 100 of them, and it's good. It's a wonderful thing, and it's building my faith, and just take little steps. We serve a God of miracles, and also I have to tell myself, we serve a God of process. The world wants us outcomes, and they want results. And I have to calm down and say, I take small steps, and they're God's steps, and it's okay. And so anyway, that's my little testimony this morning. I wanted people to know that just start with small things and trust God, and it's going to be okay.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Lori. Gary, another amazing phone call.
John, I think you and I just can step back and let these callers take over. That is amazing, you know, because we get impatient. And I've learned exactly what Lori said. God works through a process. It's a matter of patience. He doesn't fix everything or turn everything around all at once. Those small steps, that's the secret, you know. Have hope. Have hope that he's doing something and that he's working in his time. Man, those were some powerful testimonies.
Absolutely. And it ties in perfectly to what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Knowing and loving God. She obviously knows that she may not be the best salesperson, but she surely can pass out these cards that can inspire so many people with the prayer of St. Teresa of Avila, which I myself love. In fact, I have that that saying, that prayer in my office, in my next to my computer, to always remind me to never allow anything to disturb me, and that God alone is the answer. God alone suffices, as St. Teresa says.
Exactly, and it's interesting. I shared that on Facebook and Twitter today, that prayer, and I'm looking at it right now. Let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. That's what we can do. And St. Teresa's telling us, and she reminds us, that all things are passing away. God never changes. Patience obtains all things. Whoever has God lacks nothing. God alone sufficed. Boy, that's such good advice, right?
Absolutely. And I think that it's important to take a look at one's attitude and our behavior and our commitment. Are we really loving God with the way we're behaving? And what is our attitude? Do we need a checkup from the neck up spiritually?
Yeah, exactly. And the second part of the book is about loving God. And we love him, as I say, with our attitude, our behavior, and our commitment. It all starts in the mind. My decision to love God, whether it's through prayers or loving other people, it begins in my mind. I have to decide to do it. And then that should lead to behavior. You know, I don't want to just think about it, saying that, yes, I need to love all people. And I really do love God. What am I going to do about it? You know, it's in the action. And then that commitment, because, John, I don't know about you, but with me, there are times when I don't really feel like either loving God or loving my neighbor. When it gets too difficult and I get a little too selfish or impatient, it's that commitment. Am I going to remain faithful to my commitment to loving God with my thoughts and my words and my actions?
Because there's always going to be obstacles. I mean, there's always going to be trials. The Lord, some of them he sends directly, some of them he just permits. But, you know, one thing is to say I'm going to love God. Another thing is to love him, even though you might be facing great adversity, great obstacles.
Yeah, because life is difficult. Life is difficult. Sometimes we try to take on too much. Sometimes we focus too much on what we can see, which is our problems, which is the reality of a life in our face, and too little on the spiritual world, which is invisible. So we got to do a little work. And sometimes, John, we try to do big things. We're waiting for the big mission. God's got this big plan for me. But yet we might have a household filled with people who need to be shown the love of God today, or people in the office, or people in school. You know, sometimes it's the small things that he wants. He wants us to bloom where we're planted, not necessarily to wait for the big mission in life.
Well, today's the Feast of St. Teresa of Avila, but what you're describing sounds so much like the little way of the other Teresa, St. Teresa of Lisieux, the little flower.
I was thinking about it. That's funny. I've made that same connection as I was saying it. But yeah, look, she wanted to be a missionary, but because of her health and other issues, she never left her hometown. And yet she's known as the patroness of the missions. I mean, look at that, because she prayed for missionaries. So we can do something today, even if you can't leave the house. You can pray, you can sacrifice, you know, fast, whatever. We can all do something today. So rather than wait for the big mission, and this is something I struggle with, you know, what can I do today to serve the Lord? There is something there.
St. Paul talks about transforming our minds, and he also talks about God's grace is sufficient for us. I know we've talked about one of your favorite scriptures where our Lord Jesus says to St. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. How can we find peace and happiness even when we're going through tough times?
Yeah, the key is, you just said it, starts with the mind. We need to tell ourselves and let the Holy Spirit transform our mind and start to think, I don't feel God is with me. Yes, he is. I don't feel God's powerful. Yes, he is. I don't think he loves me. Well, my mind, my faith tells me he does. That self-talk is very important, and the Lord can work with that.
Well, Gary, once again, where can our listeners find your brand new book, Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness?
John, the easiest place is my website, followingthetruth.com. That's also where it's possible to get my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. So anything is available at my website, followingthetruth.com.
Sounds great. Followingthetruth.com. Easy to remember. Gary, as always, it's been a joy. Thanks so much for sharing your passion for helping so many other people.
Oh, my pleasure, John. Thank you so much for having me.
And now it's time for another episode of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called So Much More Than the Three R's. It's by Julia Brown. I'm trying something new in my classroom. I'm calling this my I Need Box. I've set it out with note cards and pencils. If a student needs something they're not comfortable voicing aloud, they can write it on the note card with their name and put it in the box. I'll get back to them about it before the week is done. For example, I need help on a lesson we've already completed. I need school supplies. I need help with a friend issue. I need help in another class. I need a hug. I need to talk to someone about a situation at home. I need to change seats. I need help with a bully. I just wanted to let my students know that I'm there to help them with anything they need. Here's how it's gone so far. The first week, two boys let me know about a bullying situation. We got that taken care of. The next week, I changed the format a little and started having every student put a card in the box every day. They didn't have to write on it, but every student visits the box daily. Since then, I've had a plethora of needs submitted. They range from specific supply needs, seat changes, special handshakes when entering class, after-school help, bullying situations, even daily hugs. What's even better is students are starting to come to me directly with issues and challenges that they're having, bypassing the box completely. I've been teaching middle school for 15 years, and I can honestly say this is the best thing I've ever done to reach my kids this early in the school year. From Philippians 2:4, we're reminded, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Thanks so much, Glenn. I want to remind our listeners to honor our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of the Rosary, today and pray the Rosary for Life this month with Father Rocky for the Family Rosary across America. With all your prayers and petitions, you can pray tonight at 7 p.m. Central and every single night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, or even on your smart TV. And that will do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Sarah Tafoya, Mariano Gomez, and a special shout out to Gabby Burke, who's on maternity leave with her new baby boy, John Michael. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Let your light shine before all. God love you. Remember, let nothing disturb you. God alone suffices, in the words of the great Saint Teresa of Avila. Pray for us. We'll see you on the next Morning Air. The Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.